Welcome, everyone. This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and today we are talking with Danielle Bernock. And Danielle and I go back a ways. Oh gosh, when did we first meet? 2016, maybe?
I think
I don't
so.
remember. It was at one of the conferences we went to, and she was one of the first gals that I got to rub elbows with. And she published a book, and I was so jealous. Because here she is all published and I wasn't yet, and that was my dream, was to publish. And so I just felt published authors were just so much head and shoulders above me and smart, and they just knew all the right stuff and all the right things to do. And so anyway, that's kind of where I was coming from at the time. And now I'm in a position where I get to help folks get published. And so I'm kind of excited about that. So I've come full circle, and I have since then gotten published myself. And so now I've come full circle, and everybody can get published. It just depends on how hard you want to work and what your genre is. And we get into all of that from time to time. But I just want to share with everyone that's on the call. And we've got some other folks here. Let me let some other folks in real quick. Quincy is on, Thomas is on, Linda is on. Okay, let me see. We've got 12 of us. Yeah, 12 of us today so far. So yay. So welcome everyone. I do have an international academy. It is you can find it at kathybinner.com. I did put that in the chat. So anybody that wants to check that out, just go to kathybinner.com. You can have a strategy call with me. You can take a look at all of our free meetups. You can see all of the courses, and there is one there for the Ohio Writers Guild that talks about all the basics of writing. It doesn't get down into the weeds too far, but it does give you all the basics and the overview of getting published. And then from there, we can do some one-on-one coaching. And at the end of our season, which ends kind of around August, we like to end with an actual writer's retreat. And so I am going to turn it over to Sandy and let her tell you all about the writer's retreat. So put it on your calendars, especially if you're in Ohio. We've got several folks in Ohio, but definitely put it on your calendar. So, Sandy, over to you.
Hi there, and thank you. Nothing like being the grand finale. Who knew? Woo! And the writing in itself, by and large, is a very single activity. You're by yourself. You're trying to get those words out. The opportunities you have to communicate with other people, to talk about with other folks, the writing process is always a good thing. And at Into the Springs Writers Workshop at the Mills Park Hotel in Yellow Springs, Ohio, I do as much as I can to cram anything you might possibly ask or need into 3 days. And it's August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Every year, I only have two to three featured guests presenting sessions. And that's because I want them to be in the room with you the whole time. We don't split sessions. We're all in the same spot for all the same sessions. So whenever there's a break and you have a question that was on your mind on Friday, you can ask it on Saturday, you can ask it on Sunday of those two featured guests. This year, for the first time after 7 years, this is my seventh year doing this, I have a literary agent named Vicky Salvaggio. She owns, as well as is an agent for the Storm Literary Agency in Twinsburg, Ohio. So that made it convenient as well that she knows our area. She'll be there all weekend presenting sessions such as: how do you pitch your book if you're going to go traditional? How do you write a query letter if you are not pitching in person, but you'll send the fall a letter requesting representation for your work? How should your submission look? How do you edit that before you ship it off? Because one of the goals, if you're querying or pitching, is if the agent asks you, "I'd like to see 50 words," or "I would," excuse me, not 50 words, "I'd like to see 50 pages." or I'd like to see the work. And then what do you do then? Do you have to have it ready to roll? Do you have a little time to edit it? And if you're editing it, what does that look like? She's going to present a session on that. And of course, she's going to do what most agents, oh, probably all agents do at any kind of a workshop. She's going to be listening to 10-minute pitches. And much like if you've done any advertising or anything, if you're on Blue Sky Media or Twitter, any of those, you only have so many words to work in. Well, that's the same with pitching. You have like 3 minutes to talk about your book, and then the rest of the 7 minutes is answering questions that she's going to ask of you for further information on that. And she'll talk about how do you do that, how you pitch that book. So she's going to listen to sessions. She's going to lead those in sessions and then listen one-on-one with you up in the boardroom. So it'll be frustrating as all get out because I've never pitched a book that I haven't gone in. I've gone in with index cards. I've thought about writing it on my arm. I've pitched too long, too short. It just takes practice. So this is the place to do it, definitely. My other featured guest is Juliet Hyland. She has just published her 25th book with Harlequin Romance Writers. Romance is still the top-selling genre out there. And there are a lot of writers in other genres who are writing romance under a pseudonym or their own name, and just because they can make money at it. And good old Juliet, she added a whole addition onto her house just on the books she's had sold in the last 5 years, and she's only been a published author for 5 years. How does she do it? And that's the ABCs of craft writing. And really, except for the big top-selling John Grishams, et cetera, we can all use a rehash. How are those ABCs of writing a story again? And that's where Juliet will come from. She's going to talk about how do you create characters to root for? And she's going to follow that up on Friday night with a writing exercise. The next day, she's going to talk about the key goals of probably any story, which is goal, motivation, and conflict. And she's going to ask that you bring that exercise you wrote on Friday, and she's going to expand it and add to it. So who knows? Fingers crossed, you might have a story ready to roll once you get out of there. So, and there will be other writing exercises. She'll be talking about also her two cents, because I love it when the two featured guests sit together and chat with everybody. And she's going to talk about what she does in editing to get her stuff ready for submission to Harlequin. So she's all sorts of things go on. There's creative writing. If you're a 7 to 8 a.m. person, everything is in the banquet hall. Creative writing, 7 to 8, Saturday and Sunday. We have book sales on Sunday morning. The Ellie's restaurant is one of the busiest times on Sunday morning. So I have a book sale with anybody who wants to sell their books in the banquet hall, 9:30 to 10:30. And Juliet is quite the flag waver cheerleader. She's going to be out in the lobby encouraging people to come and see and sell and all that. And open mic reading. That's usually something that a lot of poets or musicians do. I give you 10 minutes to read a selection, or if you can create, and I can, I've chopped a good old story down to 10 minutes worth. You are more than welcome to read. And I invite the public to the book sales, I invite the public to the open mic readings. But it's your chance to listen. And I had a gal who's got a book, her series is being published real soon. And she had somebody, and if you don't want to read it, that's fine. We have other folks who will read your work for you. She had someone do that last year, and the audience erupted in laughter. And she goes, "Good, that's exactly what I wanted," because her storyline is a hoot. So you'll have to ask her. She'll be back this year as well. All that is on the website and more. And I wouldn't mind chatting with you. It's Sandy at IntoTheSpringsWritersWorkshop.com. So please join us August 1, 2, and 3. And I'd love to have you. Thanks.
I love it. I've now attended several different workshops from several different organizations, and Sandy's is still my favorite. Not just because it's Sandy, but it really is my favorite because it's small enough that you feel like you really are seen. And I
Yeah,
think that
good.
in some of the larger workshops, you're just in this group of hundreds of people, and it's good stuff, don't get me wrong, but sometimes you don't feel like your questions really got answered or that you were really seen, and you go away maybe thinking, that was good, but not great. And when I go to Sandy's, I always leave with a pocket full of connections that I've made with other folks. And we connect outside of the workshop, and it just makes a difference because writing is kind of a lonely sport when you're down in the trenches. I would like for everyone, before I turn it over to Sally to tell us a little bit about what she brings to the table. She is our blogger in the group. And but before I go to Sally, I would like for folks to just put in the chat, and if you could click it to everyone. And yeah, and Sandy, did you already put your information about?
Yes, I forgot
Okay.
the everyone. Okay.
Okay. Okay, I see that. Yeah. If you could put it to everyone, how to get a hold of you for the workshop. Lane just came back in and wants to know more information about the workshop. So if you could put that in for everyone.
Thanks.
But for everyone else that's in the call today, if you could make sure it says to everyone in your chat and put in there whether you are published or not yet. And either way, whether you are or not published, what is your genre? Is it fiction? Is it nonfiction? Is it romance? Is it history? Is it self-help? Just give us a little bit of an idea who all of you are. And so we would love to see that over in the chat. Now, I'm going to go to Sally. Sally is the blogger in our group. Sally, tell everyone what it is that you do and who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do, and a little bit about your blog.
My blog is embracetheunexpected.net. It's lessons I've learned in 72 years, how to react, how not to react. But I haven't published, I am published. But what I do is my company is Mermaid Travel. So I'm a travel agent, full-time, full-service travel agency that I do specialize in groups for older adults. It'd be motor coach or flying trips, or they're very, the senior center I work with is very enthusiastic about traveling. So, and I also, if they need help, like motorized scooters or something like that, I can help them with that. I work with a couple different companies. So sometimes you see people who think they can't take a vacation for what, because they have to use a wheelchair, they're on oxygen, and but we help them with that. So they can.
I love it. I love it. Now, when you started blogging, did you have any major hurdles to overcome, or did you just have enough stories already that you could? Because I've read through some of your early blogs, and it was just it seemed so easy for you.
Nope. It's not. I keep ideas in my head for a long time.
Okay.
And then I go to my Word and I just type them out freestyle. Now, I ha might
Okay.
have an idea of a theme in mind, but halfway through, the theme might change.
Okay.
So I always get it, put it in there, and then I let it sit for a couple of days.
Okay. Okay. So you have
And
a
go back.
system.
Yep, I do have a system when I utilize it. My biggest
Perfect.
block is me. So,
No, that's all of us, Sally. Yeah, I get
yeah.
that. So for those of you that are not writing yet, think about blogging because that is a great way to kind of, practice a little bit, start writing, get some things published. And that's a great way to get started. So, Sally, thank you for that. Sally is
You're welcome.
one of my co-hosts, so thank you for being here. We've got some information in the chat. We have some folks that are not published yet. Amy does 18th century fiction. Sherry is published, Handwriting, Brain Body Disconnect. And then she's unpublished with a historical fiction that she's been working on. We also have feel good sci-fi, unpublished horror. Here it says first book publication, self-published, generally a fiction writer. So we've got. I think some of those Sherry or Sandy. I think some of those folks, if they're just in the audience, they may not have the everyone button. And I did tell everybody to click on the everyone button. So I apologize. Some of you may not, that may not show up on yours. But anyway, thank you so much for telling us a little bit about who you are and what it is that you're writing. I love that. Let me see. We have somebody with their hand up. Lane, yes, go ahead.
Hi, I just tried to click on the link that you put in, Sandy, into the Springs Writers Workshop.com, and I got a website not found or whatever. I just,
Oh,
sorry.
let me check. I'll.
Yeah, because I'm really interested and I don't want
Ooh,
to lose
good.
that. Yeah.
Yep. Could be that maybe a letter's missing or something. Sometimes I do that when I'm trying to type. So Sandy, I'll let you take care of that. We're going to then
Thank you.
switch over to Danielle. And so Danielle Burnock, again, she and I go back to about 2016, I think, is when we first attended the same. And again, it was a writer's conference. And it was called Author Academy Elite, and so many of you on this call may be familiar with that. Anyway, Danielle is an award-winning author. She is a trauma-informed coach, a dynamic speaker who helps emotional trauma survivors reclaim their value, identity, and belovedness through the power of God's love. Once describing herself as an emotional basket case, Danielle lived with a hidden trauma for years before discovering healing and wholeness through inner work and spiritual transformation. She founded 4F Media, Faith, Family, Friends, Freedom, to share her message of hope and personal freedom through books, coaching, and multimedia outreach. Her debut book, Emerging with Wings, A True Story of Lies, Pain, and the Love That Heals, has reached over 1 million readers and shines a light on the deeply personal nature of trauma, reminding survivors everywhere that love is the answer. Danielle's work empowers creatives to lean into vulnerability, write with authenticity, and use storytelling as a healing tool. And you can connect with her at danielleburnock.com. Danielle, wow, your first book. I met you when you were in the middle of that, Emerging with Wings, and it was incredibly personal. For those that are writing on such a personal level like that, but what was it like writing about your own trauma, and how did you navigate being so vulnerable? I have several students that I'm working with that are writing their memoirs, and they are very emotional about it, and it's so hard to do that. How did you navigate that?
I was in counseling at the same time I was writing my book. That's one thing that I did. I knew I was going to be revisiting things that would be painful. So I did that intentionally to write my book. The
Okay.
second thing was focusing on why. Why am I writing this? I'm writing this to help someone else. So I'm doing this to help someone else. This isn't about writing about a laundry list of things that happened to me. And I am not graphic in my book. I have read some memoirs before that I wished I could unread some things in the book. And my books are not like that. They're not graphic in a way that you wish you could unread it. So
Okay.
I think it's important to convey what matters to the reader. If you really focus on you're writing for the reader. You're not writing for yourself. If you want to write for yourself, journal, and get that all out. And, if you need to do that first, maybe someone needs to do that first, journal it out, because your first draft isn't publish worthy anyway. So don't worry about the first time through, or maybe even the second time through, because you're going to go through it over and over and over and over again. When I wrote, I would print it out and I would read it and I'd scribble all over it and I would do that over and over and over again.
No, I get it. I get it. Yes, that's how my writing kind of takes place as well. I do talk my writing out a lot. I use the little microphone button and I do talk into the microphone to get it on the page, and then I start editing from there. So it's just that it's so hard when I'm coaching somebody that has to deal with a very vulnerable subject matter. It's just so hard on exactly what tone and how to put that on the page, where, like you said, your reader doesn't wish they could unread something like, oh, that was a little too harsh for me, and I wish I wouldn't have read that. How do you get that balance? How do you find what is the right balance when you're writing something like that?
What are you trying to convey? What is the point? What is the point of you telling that story? What is the point of sharing that part of your story? What is it going to do for your reader? And Emerging with Wings is written at like a love story too. It's not a just a biography, these things happened to me. It has, a hero and a villain and the person overcoming. So it takes you on a journey. It's a
Okay.
book. If you're writing, why are you writing your book? The author needs to answer that question at the beginning. Why are you writing this book? What is this for? And so you keep that in view of am I accomplishing why I'm doing this?
Okay. And so again, this is a writer's group, so probably everyone on the call is familiar with the hero's journey. And so you pretty much wrote the story as the hero's journey, like here's where I was, here's what happened, here's what I discovered, here's what I learned in my aha moment, and now here's how I want to share my healing and love with everyone else. Am I correct? It kind of took that hero's journey. So
Somewhat, yes, somewhat. It's a little bit messier than that because I my story did this a bunch of times, but it
Oh,
doesn't,
yeah.
and it emerges. That's why it's emerging with wings. So at the end, it emerges happy. It takes you on the journey through various aha moments, and then the stumbling after that, and how do you apply that and dealing with this? Because I am a childhood trauma survivor and it was complex trauma. So I had multiple things I was dealing with. It wasn't just one thing. So it touches on a great variety of things, but it brings it all together into how love brought that healing to my heart in this way, in this way. And I have a chapter in the middle of my book. I remember this point in my writing. One of the chapters in that book is called ARG. Because I got to a point in my writing that I was really struggling with what matters. It all matters. None of it matters. What do they care about? And I got very frustrated about that. So I wrote about that part in my writer's journey of there of like, arg, should I even keep going? But I had committed to writing a book. So that drove me to get past that. But to get past that, I wrote about that bump in the road. So there is a chapter called ARG where I was that frustrated of what am I doing? And it conveys to the reader that this book is for you. It's not for me. When I write, I also talk to the reader. I will actually be talking to the reader because
Okay.
it's for the reader. I will ask some questions. I'll say if this speaks to you and things like that because I want my books to be, I'm having a relationship with my reader.
Well, and I get that because I've read through your book. I love it, by the way. And how do you balance the storytelling with the teaching? Because again, your book was just a nice combination of the two. It wasn't just all storytelling and it wasn't just all teaching. It was a nice combination of the two. How did you balance that?
Oh, I didn't think about balancing it. So what I do is I want to illustrate. I think storytelling is how you illustrate the point you're trying to make. I like to use analogies. I think analogies are great ways to illustrate. When my children were small, I used to teach children's church and we would do things called object lessons. And it's a way to do a visual. Because some people they read and they're cerebral and they read. They learn through that way. I'm a visual learner, so I need to see things. So I think that comes to me somewhat automatically because of just the way I'm wired, that people need to understand. I need to draw them a picture. And that was one of the things I actually wrote about in my book, because I was raised not allowed to learn in that fashion. I was told, what do I need to draw you a picture? And the answer was yes, but that was not the answer I was allowed to give. That was beating me down because I was too stupid to learn this other way. It's like, no, I think drawing a picture is a great way for people to understand. And we learn in all the different ways, and the more ways we apply something, the greater we learn it. If we see it, if we hear it, if we can see a picture of it, if we can experience it. There's a quote out there about, if you tell me, I hear, and if you show me, then I learn. But if I experience it, then I can internalize it. And I didn't quote that perfectly, but more than one person has quoted that thing. So that's the point of when we experience things, that's when it becomes a part of us.
Wow. Now I know trauma is very, very personal. And so, how does that principle guide you into deciding what stories you wanted to tell in your books? Because it is personal. Were there some things that were so painful that you chose not to share those?
No.
Okay. So
And Trauma is Personal was an epiphany I got writing the book, because I did not understand that at the beginning. But trauma is personal. People will diminish things and dismiss it, that it's not a big enough deal, because they're busy comparing it with something else. And when I got that epiphany and how I wrote it in my book, that quote has gone viral. And I find it in other people's books and on other people's websites. And they quote it places, and I find graphics. It's been translated into Dutch and translated into Polish. And it's because it is so crucial to understand that trauma is personal. What traumatizes one person might not traumatize someone else, which is why to not write in a way that you're going to trigger someone. And if you think that what you're going to say might, then you could say in there's trigger warning. This might trigger some people. I have read some books that have said that, and I appreciate that. So I didn't know about that when I wrote my book, but I have never had anyone come to me and say that they were triggered by my book.
Okay. All right. What were some of the biggest obstacles when you were writing the book? Can you name one or two? Because as a group of writers, I'm sure that there are those in this group, even on this call today, that can relate. What was some of your biggest obstacles, and then how did you overcome
Well, that ARG I brought up
them?
and how I overcame that was by writing about it, including it in the story.
Yeah.
But another huge obstacle was fear. Fear
Okay. Okay.
of that I don't know what I'm doing, because I had never written a book before that. Fear that, is anyone going to read this? Fear that someone might actually read it. Fear that, I
Isn't
mean,
that the truth? How many writers have that? It's like, I hope everybody reads it. Oh, I hope nobody reads it.
exactly. And how I overcame that was partially by being in counseling. So I had someone to talk to about it, educating myself, because part of the fear was caused by ignorance. I don't know how to write a book. I don't know how to publish a book. Looking into publishing it with traditional, I decided I didn't want to do that because they would buy it and then they could change it. And I'm like, nobody's changing my story. Which is why I created my imprint of 4F Media to publish it, because I didn't just want my name on it. I wanted it to be seen as
Okay.
something of excellence, something that, I cared about this. I didn't just slap my name on it and throw it out there. But overcoming the fear was through doing and feeding that courage and educating myself, which to overcome the ignorance of I don't know what I'm doing. So I educated myself and I got help, and I surrounded myself with people that would help me. And so it was many things to get over the fear. The fear was the biggest thing, multiple ways of fear. And yeah, I know that's a common thing with writers. And then the
Yeah.
more you do it, the more you put things out there, the greater courage you have, the less fear will hold you back. Though, you think like you're not going to be afraid anymore. You're not going to encounter that until you do.
No, I get it. I get it. I get it. Now, we got a little bit of a feel for those that are on this call, and we have several that are fiction writers. But for those that are not fiction writers, that are writing the nonfiction and maybe even writing a memoir, what advice do you have for someone that's trying to write through their own pain?
Don't do it alone.
Okay, okay.
Don't do it alone. Meet with a friend regularly, hire a counselor, hire a coach, become a part of a writer group. Something that you are not going through this journey of writing it alone. Don't do it alone.
Good advice. Good advice. I have to sit with that one for a minute because I don't know about you, but the more writers' workshops that I go to, the realization kind of hits me that that as writers, a lot of us are introverts and we're not putting ourselves out there. And so even reaching out for someone to be a writing partner, oftentimes we just feel, no, we're just going to do it alone. You know, it's a very lonely job. We're just going to sit in our little writer's corner and we're just going to write away. And yeah, I can see where that is great advice. But then again, we have to kind of wrap our minds around it to do that, to reach out and have a writer, a coach or a partner in our writing that
that's something you find out, you know, what is going to fit you, you know, because maybe you don't need to go on counseling. I needed to go on counseling, you know, maybe a coaches, maybe get a writer coach, maybe being a part of like your writers group. I also, for my book, Because You Matter, I joined a creative writing group and I could bring a page and they would read it. And then they would give me constructive criticism. I was a part of one group that was not good and I didn't go back after one visit. So be picky. If you go somewhere and it doesn't fit you well, you know, stop that and do something different. Don't just go, oh, I have to go because I went once. No, you don't. You don't. Do what's good for you.
Yeah, I am in several writers groups. I'm even in several online writers groups where we can submit a page of our work and then someone else reads it. So they're not, they don't even know who wrote it. And that way nobody gets their feelings hurt and then everybody can kind of critique it. And so nobody even really knows whose writing it is, except the writer. They know that, oh, that's mine they're reading right now. But it doesn't make them feel like they're on the spot. And that way, you know, like, oh, everybody knows it's Kathy. So that way they can say, oh, well, this first paragraph was not good, but the second paragraph is better. You know, and I learned so much from just listening over the months as that unfolds. I've just learned so much and my writing has gotten better just because I'm connected to some of those groups. So for those of you that are listening, yes, get involved in some of that. Danielle, how has your writing evolved since this first book? I know it has. Tell me what is the biggest thing that you see that has evolved in your following? You, okay. In what
Me.
Way?
I remember I spoke, one of the times I spoke at a writer's conference, the presentation I did was how writing a book will change you.
Okay.
Because you write a book because you want to help others. So it's a given that, you know, a good book will change the person who is reading the book and whatever
right.
you know, aimed at. But people don't understand that by becoming an author, you're changing yourself. It's going to transform you. So as I have written, it has changed me. So as I change, then I write differently.
Interesting.
I did blogging, like Sally does blogging. After I published that book, then I read this article, every book needs a blog. I'm like, what's a blog? So then I started blogging for a while. And I still have my blog, but I don't contribute to it weekly like I used to. And I did freelance writing for a while, got paid for it. So I did that for a while. And now I've written courses and I do speaking, I do coaching. And yeah, I write my email to my people every week. So it's like, it's evolved because I have evolved and how I serve people evolves because people change. Our society has changed. I mean, since the pandemic, the world's a different place. So, you know, living things change and growing things change. Living things grow and growing things change. So it's like, we need to evolve. That's part of being alive.
I love that. Thank you so much for that. Lane says she's been through repeated trauma, also has written and journaled about some key moments. However, the people involved in her trauma and she says, while I have found sharing some of the stories, including my transformation personally, I'm afraid of alienating these individuals who truly did not mean me harm. Any thoughts on that?
I have lots of thoughts on that.
Tell us.
I struggled to validate my childhood emotional neglect because my parents did the best they could. I didn't know I had that until I was in counseling writing that book. In fact, the second half of my book, I discovered that pile of trauma while I was in counseling writing the book. I didn't even know that that was a thing. And I talked with my counselor about that because I'm like, my parents didn't mean to hurt me. They did not mean to hurt me. And I struggled for a long time. It's something I talk about. I just re-listened to a podcast interview I'd done a couple of years ago yesterday. And I talked about this. People think that to address your trauma, you have to throw your parents under the bus. No. But I created a little mathematical equation I put in Emerging with Wings. It says no malice does not equal no harm. And so we can't ignore the harm because there wasn't malice. And the story I had told was, you're playing catch with someone with a hard ball. And who you're playing catch with, they throw the ball, you miss it, and it bonks you on the head and it cracks your head open. You have to call 911 and go to the hospital. And the person comes running over, they go, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Well, does that mean you don't go to the hospital now? You still cracked your head open. So the reality needs to be addressed, but there's a way to address it without assigning shame or blame to how I talk about because you matter. About blame is something that you can be on for a moment just to like point to that's where it started, that's where it came from, but you don't have to ascribe malice. You say, well, it happened at this time, and then you could say, well, they did the best they could, but I needed more. They did not have to give me what I needed. You know, if I come to you, Kathy, and I say, I would like you to give me some roses. And you're like, well, I don't have any roses. Well, you know, it's not your fault you don't have any roses. And it's not my fault that I would like roses. It's just simply the situation. And so there is a way to address it without attacking the person who is the point of origin of that pain. So that's the first thing that I came up with is the no malice does not equal no harm. And I coach my clients about this all the time. It's like, you have to address that too. And there's a way to help, you know, if these people are still alive, there's a way to invite them into the healing with you. If they are on board with that, you can repair a relationship, rebuild a whole new beautiful relationship. Because of that, I did that with my mother. She invited me into becoming a friend. She took me out to lunch, and I went out because of coercion and because, you know, I need to be a good daughter and go to lunch with my mom and do what I'm supposed to. And I did that. But she asked me, do you want to be friends? And it really surprised me that she asked that. And I'm like, yeah. And so neither one of us knew what we were doing. We weren't psychologists. We weren't in counseling or
anything. I get it.
But we both had the common goal of connection. And so we both became vulnerable with one another and unpacked, well, when you did this, this really hurt me. Why did you do that? And we listened. We were actively listening and we gave place. We let the other people have their perception. And we learned, I learned it's got a term now. There's a thing called a perception gap that both perceptions can be true, but they're completely different. Like if you're standing on the east side of a mountain and I'm on the west side of the mountain, we're both looking at the same mountain, but what we're seeing is completely different and neither one of us is wrong. And so it's to be able to talk our way through that. You can repair the relationship if the other person's willing.
I love all of that, Danielle. You've done such a wonderful job explaining that. And so for those that are writing memoirs or something that is traumatic, these are all great points on how to get through that writing phase. We had a question. It says, is there going to be talk about publishing? And there is, because Danielle, you decided to create the 4F Media in 2014. Now, how has that platform helped you with your publishing? Because am I correct that this is your own publishing? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, describe that to us and tell us how that works, because this is something that a lot of our audience may not realize that they could actually create as well.
Well, I wanted to self-publish, as I said, and I didn't want just my name on it. So I wanted an imprint, and all the publishing houses have a logo on the spine. So I created my own logo, and I already had an LLC I had created. So I didn't want to do that all over again. So what I did is I did have a DBA, a doing business as. So I used my LLC, doing business as, for F Media. And what that's done for me is that's my legal platform that I have the legal right to do the things I'm doing. I have a sales tax license to sell things. So I pay my sales tax every year and I pay to register my business every year with the state of Michigan. So that has given me the legal platform to do all the things that I do and to be able to have deductions on my taxes. If you're trying to have a business, but you don't have an LLC or some legal entity, then the government will consider it only a hobby after a certain amount of time if you're not making a certain amount of money. But if you have a legal platform, then you are considered a business. And then whether you have a gain or a loss, you can always do that on your tax return.
That is a great point. And again, for those of you that are listening, we have all of the traditional publishers, we have all of the self-publishers, and then we have that million and one hybrids in the middle. And we have the vanity publishers, and we have and then we just have the self-publishers, and there's groups that come along and they just offer services to help you self-publish. So they're all over the map. So the thing that I want to say to those of you that are listening is just do your due diligence and make sure that it's not a scam, because intermixed with all of that, there are some scams out there that tries to take your money and then you don't get anything back in return. And so just do your due diligence. And one of the best ways to do that is to just look at references. You know, just if they don't offer some references, you can ask for some references and just talk to some folks and say, just what was your experience with this publishing house? How did it go? How did it work for you? Did they perform on what they promised with what you've paid? And as for me, I like building the relationships. When I decided that I was ready to get published, I connected with somebody that knew someone that had also been published with them, had a good rapport with them, had a good experience. I then did my due diligence and then I decided to go ahead and go forward. And since then, Sherry is on the call. She's been published with the same publishing house that I've been published with. So, and we've had a good experience, and they did provide everything that they promised that they were going to provide. You know, I can't complain. It was a good experience for me. So, but you can do your own, just like Danielle. So, Danielle, you have your own actual publishing house for yourself. And then through that business, you've created courses, you do coaching, you do public speaking. So, you've wrapped an entire business around your books. Am I correct?
Yes. I would
Okay.
like to speak to what you mentioned about the traditional, the vanity and self. I
Okay.
spoke at a writer's conference on that very issue, and it's important, I think, for any author to explore all three and decide which one is for you.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it goes back to what you were saying, Danielle, at the very beginning of this call. You have to ask yourself, why am I writing this? And so no matter what you're writing, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, whatever it is that you're writing, you have to ask yourself, why am I writing this? And sometimes there is a better choice of publishing depending on what it is that you're writing. So that could be why you decided to go with traditional publisher versus self-publishing versus one of the vanity publishers in between. So it makes a difference. Sandy, do you have any insight to that for our listeners today?
Yes and no. I'm very impressed with the fact that we've often mentioned here at least once on these books are business. And when you're talking about your trauma, or you're talking about your story, and sometimes we have those same issues, even though we're doing fiction. For whatever reason, sometimes we cloak ourselves. Maybe it's for protection. And then we get to that little line, books are business. So you get that, what seems like a cold-hearted reality of the fact, if you do want to share your story, how do you do it? And does anybody really care how it happens? They just want to make sure that it gets into the hands of those who want to read it. And how do you do that? So what I like is, you're talking about your personal journey, and that personal, and sometimes it is as traumatic as trying to get your LLC out there and your blog out there. So I really like the fact that, yes, all those stages of getting your book, getting your story out there has its own universal learning curve from something to nothing. And I know there are times where what has stalled me is the fact that, okay, how many short story submissions are out there that I could plug this particular story into? So it's just amazing how I like how you've covered it all, that it's the business, but it's also the personal writing, and on and on and on. Just impressive. Just impressive.
Oh, and that reminds me of something you've done, Kathy. I've done it too, is there's anthologies. If people have short stories or something,
Yes.
you can, find someone to be a part of their anthology. There's a lady here in Michigan. She's done it, I think, for 5, 6 years now in Sterling Heights. She publishes an anthology called
Yeah.
Sterling Press or something like that. I've been in it twice,
Yeah.
to do that. So it's a way to get published, without doing the whole book yourself too.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is a great way to get started. Yes, I agree with that. That's perfect. We have a question. What advice do you have for getting started in freelancing? You mentioned that you did some freelance writing, and we have Audrey is interested and wants to know what advice to get started in freelancing.
Well, at the beginning, it was scary to me because I'd not done it before. Like anything, it's new, it's scary. I had a friend who connected me with an editor of an online publication, is how I got started. But you can also Google freelance writing. There are websites that host
Yes.
that will connect you with that. And if you know who you would want to freelance write for, that would help you to in your search for that. If you know anyone who already does it, talk to them about it. Maybe they can get you in there.
Yep. Good point. Good point. Tell us a little bit about your writing process, Danielle. Are you a structured planner? Do you write from inspiration or intuition? Do you write when the flow hits you, or are you scheduled? Do you sit down like an hour every morning at a certain time and write so many words a day? What does your writing look like? I know, especially those that have not started writing, that know that they want to write, a lot of times they're stuck even there. They're like, do I just schedule a time? Do I just go away for the weekend? How do I get started? So what is your writing style?
My writing style has been all of those.
I
I have been all of those at one time or another. But
that.
for those who
Thank
are
you for
starting,
that.
I suggest giving yourself scheduling a time that works for you, and give yourself a doable goal. I have done it where I had to write so many words, and then I had trouble with that. So instead, I changed it to I'm going to write for 15 minutes. I'm going to write for 15 minutes every day, or schedule a certain time, or you just have it during this day. I can't go to bed without doing that. However, that works for you, but you have to set a goal that you will actually do. That's really important, because if you set a goal, I'm going to write my book by next week, and you're not even going to write the first line. But something that you'll do. So I would suggest whether you do the words, like I'm going to write, 1,000 words or 500 words today, and do it, in a certain sitting, or do 15 minutes, and don't erase, don't scribble. I went through one of the writing course that I went through, and if you can find some simple little writing course to do to help you get started, that's a great tool to help you. I went through this one writing course. I think it was 30 days or something like that. But he had a tool called NOPE, NOPE. He had a tool called NOPE. And you would go into this thing and you would type, and the backspace did not work. When you hit the backspace, it said, nope. Because one of the things we tend to do when we write is we second guess and we edit while we are writing. We need
yes.
to just write without editing. It's
I'm so guilty.
Very difficult discipline to do. And if you, I haven't done a lot of writing recently. Like the last year, I've done a little more because I've been focused on speaking and coaching. But I have some things I'm brewing in my head. So I was thinking about that. It's like, I should start the daily thing again, just to have that discipline again.
Yeah, I get it. So tell us about the books that you've written since the first one, and how have they evolved? And then finally, what is next for you as an author? Do you have an upcoming project?
I'll start with the other books that came. I have the first one, which is Emerging with Wings, which we started with. Then my next book after that is actually on Kindle and Audible. And that's just a short story. And I put it on Audible to practice using Audible before I had
okay.
another book to do. Audible is really why it ended up on Audible. And that's just, it's an allegory. It's a short story allegory dealing with the complex emotions when you have a loved one with Alzheimer's, because my mother-in-law went through that and I was struggling so badly. And that was a gift God gave me. I came home, sat down on my computer and just wrote it.
Wow. Okay.
So that was one of those inspiration kind of things. I did a little bit of editing of it, but pretty much it just came. And my Love's Manifesto, I give away at my website for free. That was a work to do. I worked with Jeff Goins of Tribe Writers, and that was an assignment that he gave us to do, to what are you doing? Why are you doing it? Why are you a writer and why are you doing it? So that's Love's Manifesto, because my whole message is surrounding around love and the love that heals and knowing you're loved. And so love is my core message. So that's why I have Love's Manifesto, which I only give away free. But then I got Because You Matter, that came through beginning an inspiration. I got the title, but then that kind of evolved from there. I did the, because it's how to take ownership of your life so you can really live. It's like taking ownership of your mind, your emotions, your pain, your purpose, your mess, different aspects of your life, your courage, your choice. But then I got help from other writers, you know. What do you think about this? Well, it needs more story. Here's back to that balancing the story. I didn't have enough story in that. It was too much self-help. So I interviewed 10 people and have their stories in between them. So then I started learning how to interview people. So that's how that book came about that way. But my most recent one is Talk About Your Value. And that came about through inspiration through my grandson, who's an artist. He was showing me pictures of all these different tacos, singing, dancing from different countries and everything. But on one of the pages was one burrito that was upset. And I'm like, Gideon, what's wrong with this burrito? He said he's upset because he's not a taco. And I was like, oh, we have to do something with this, because the second leading cause of death in kids 10 to 14 is suicide. And I said, Gideon, this needs to be a book. But then I wanted to get it out there. So what do I do? And I want to give it for kids and I write for adults. So how am I going to do this? And it turned into an activity book. And so I had to learn how to create an activity book. So whenever you're, whatever genre you're writing, fiction or nonfiction or romance or whatever, Google and get information, read other books, see how they're laid out, see what the cover is like. How do they do their, you know, contents page? How do they do their author? How do they do their cop? How do they do that? Research whatever genre you're doing, because that, I'd never done an activity book before. Even the size of the book, what size are these kinds of books? You know, what size are romance books? What size are self-help books? What size are, you know, sci-fi books? You know, what do the covers look like? How do they present them? So you do a lot of research of that. And that's how I came up with the taco book. It's a lot bigger than the other ones. You don't do a regular author page on that. That's at the back. And so it was like, you learn as you go with that. So.
And you know what? I say this all the time to my tribe, and this is a perfect example, is that action comes first and clarity comes second. And I know Sherry and Danielle have heard that before from Carrie, that action comes first and clarity comes second. And what I really appreciate about Danielle is that she's not afraid to roll her sleeves up and figure it out. Mm-hmm. Look at all the different genres that she just now has walked us through in her writing. And so many of us get stuck. We feel like, you know, this is where we're at, or this was the first book we wrote, so now we have to stay in that genre or in that framework. And you have branched out through everything you've done. Everything is different. I don't know that there's any two that are the same. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so I just admire Danielle so much for just figuring it out, just deciding that this is what she's going to do and she is going to figure it out. So what project do you have coming up and what should our audience watch for?
Well, I have ideas for a couple of books, but they haven't come together yet. So I don't have anything specific that I can say, oh, watch for this to come. I just things I've been working on. I'm going to start the daily writing habit again. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. Okay.
I wanted to make another thing about the books to go back to help new writers is something I learned through working with Carrie is make your book title so prominent that they can see it across the aisle at the bookstore. Like the cover of this book, see, you know, people have to do this to lean in. But this one,
yeah.
See, oh, that's much more prominent. You can see that from far away. So this is my first one. I didn't know what I was doing. So, and that's actually the second edition of it. So with everyone, you learn and let yourself learn, you know, and don't despise your small beginnings. You know, this one started everything. I wouldn't be where I am without this one, but, you know, it would have been better if the title was bigger. I have it outlined now in white so you can see it better than the first one. But, you know, you have to stay true to who you are. But if you can make it so they can read it well, that will work well for you. What Carrie said is when you make it a small little thumbprint, you should be able to still read it.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Danielle, thank you so much. I'm going to open it up for questions. Does anybody have any questions for Danielle before we go today? This has been great. I love seeing authors succeed. I love hearing your story. I love hearing how they write and where they write and how they've gotten published. And then as always, I love hearing about Sandy's workshop and about Sally's travels. And so I really appreciate everybody being on today. So any questions for Danielle?
I just have a comment. You're talking about how to write, where to write. I am not in my usual space for my Zoom meetings.
Okay.
I am at my sister's. I cat and house sit for my sister and my brother, two different places in Ohio. And all I ask is that they stock the refrigerator. I go nowhere but pick up their mail and write. So that's a cheap option. I used to go to a convent. They have openings there mostly for folks who want to do, you know, spiritual regatherings. I go all by myself. I'm in those little cloister rooms and I do nothing but write. So you can always work it out. But this has been an excellent hour. Thank you so much, Danielle. I liked
it. Thank you.
And Kathy. And
yes, Sally. Thank you. Anyone else?
Danielle, I'm really glad I came on today. It's good to see you.
It's been
quite a number of years, and I love to watch your posts on social media. They're wonderful. And everything that you said, I hear Carrie talking.
Well, he was my mentor, still is. I still watch him with what he's doing. I learned a lot from him.
Yeah, I did too. If I had to name the top three people that made a difference in my writing, it would have to be Carrie and I don't know, Sherry, about you, but it would have to be Carrie and Wendy and Patricia. Those would have to be my top three. Yeah, so Carrie's right up there. Yep. I get it. Well, thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate you coming on today. We are here every second Monday of the month at 12 noon under the Ohio Writers Guild. And we're always talking to a different author every time we're on. And we get to kind of pull back the curtain and see how they do it. So Danielle, thank you so much for showing us into your world and how you do it. And again, I just want to say kudos to you for being brave enough to just say, I'm going to figure this out. I love that about you. And and again, we do follow you on social media. We see all the wonderful things that you're doing. I think you see, I put some little, I sprinkle my little hearts around whenever I see you post something. So thank you so much for being with us. And again, thank you, Sandy. And thank you, Sally. Sherry, thank you for coming on. And Audrey, Thomas, Linda, Carrie, thank you all so much. And we will see everyone next time.
Great.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.